Stone Faces, from an essay by Sharon Butala. On a clear fall morning, I went to St. Victor Historic Petroglyphs Park, south of Moose Jaw. I climbed and climbed in my borrowed car to the top of the wood mountain uplands until I reached the park gate, stopped, got out, found the stairs, and began a long climb on foot to the top of the cliffs where the glyphs were incised on the horizontal surface of the rock. I was the only person in the entire park, and in the stillness and the clarity of that morning, I felt my solitude gravely and as a blessing. At the top, I stopped and looked around. The beautiful treed village of St. Victor was lost in foliage below, and to the north and on the angle beyond it, Montague Lake shone softly. I could see for miles in two directions where not a soul, a bird, a cow stirred. On the still air, a noise came faintly from the direction of the lake, a mile or more away. I listened hard, trying to identify it. At first I thought it was a farm dog barking. Then it seemed there was more than one voice, and I thought, oh, coyotes. But no, the sound came clearer, and I realized it was geese, pausing for water and to search out wheat kernels in the nearby farmer's field that had been thrown over during combining, as sustenance to strengthen them for their journey south. All alone and with no pressing business, I took the time to gaze out across the landscape. Soon two mule deer broke out of the bush below where I stood, climbed a wooded ridge, and disappeared over its crown. Eventually, I remembered to look at the glyphs, which were at my feet, immediately on the other side of the railing I was leaning on. It took a moment, after that dazzling, endless view, to bring my mind and my eyes into focus so I could pick them out. Then I saw a human face staring up at me, carved when, no one is sure, and by whom, no one knows. Something unexpected gripped me quickly, hard, deep in my abdomen, a chill, a frisson of the numinous, and then let go. In that silence and stillness, I became aware of the sun hanging huge and yellow just above the back of my head, the guardian, the other, the powerful and constant presence at that place. Its angled rays brought the many glyphs, invisible in higher light, into existence. Each morning and each evening, its rays created them anew. Human handprints, faces and footprints, grizzly bear claws, bison hoof prints leading over the edge of the high cliff. That year I had time to go to only one more prehistoric rock art site before winter snows covered them. This one is on another high, gently rounded, long hill, this time above a creek, and overlooks the small city of Swift Current. Here, two bison, their bodies chipped out of the rock till they formed small basins, sat enigmatically just where they'd been for as long as 2,000 or 3,000 years. Why would they do it? An archaeologist asked me rhetorically. They aren't work, that is. They don't produce food or clothing or make houses. Think how hard this must have been to do, how long it must have taken. Their people must have seen it as important, and it follows, then, that these must have had to do with their spiritual life. I am always trying to see this land as it must have been before farmers plowed it, before domesticated cattle came to graze it bare, before there were highways, towns, power poles, and rows of gleaming steel grain bins. I try to imagine it as a prehistoric people who lived here must have seen it, and from that, to feel what they might have felt. Now I rose from kneeling in the grass beside the stone bison and looked out toward the city where once there had been only uncounted hills and grass. At that moment it seemed less real than the petroglyph I'd come 100 miles to see. As I'd driven out of the yard that morning on my way to the edge of this distant city, the sun on my right was only a faint yellow gleam below the horizon, and on my left a white three-quarter moon was riding the Serpentine Hills. For miles as I drove the deserted highway I watched the sun rise. First a red glow, then a radiant ruby, are like molten metal dissolving to gold at the edges. Then the sun was above the horizon and too bright to look at. I began to watch its light pouring across the fields that flanked the highway, and beyond them the near hills, and behind them the land, as it lifted chunkily in blue folds towards the sky. To ask what a carving in stone of a turtle, painting or carving of other animals and humans on or in stone or human or animal footprints mean is to be distracted by something that seems to me irrelevant and unimportant. What matters is that they were done by humans like you and me. In such beauty there can be no response but awe. It was not an accident that all these sites had stunning views across miles of land, with the clear view of the setting sun, sometimes the rising sun, I'm told. It was the act of a people who, whether living 10,000 or 200 years ago, knew desire and hope, remembered long and well, felt respect and reverence, had a sense of grace, had souls as puny and as magnificent, as various as ours.